And just going to read in Revelation chapter 3. And while you're looking it up, we just take a moment to pray. Father, just ask for help now as the Word of God is opened again this afternoon. We are thankful for the way the ministry touched our hearts this morning. We pray that this afternoon will be no different, that the Spirit of God will minister to our hearts. Help us, Father, as we open the Word of God just now, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Revelation 3, and I'm just going to read one verse. I was asked to speak at a sister's funeral back home in PEI, Cynthia Potter, just a couple of years older than myself. I remember the day that Cynthia trusted Christ as her Savior, and she broke into her home, so to speak, with a lot of gusto and very thrilled that she had just discovered Christ. It was very uncharacteristic of Cynthia. She was very quiet, had her act together, and we didn't know her as having any outward displays of emotions. And so it was quite something for her to interrupt our dinner when she burst into our house and started hugging us and telling us that she just trusted Christ. Had the privilege of speaking at her funeral, and she wanted me to share how she trusted Christ, reading Revelation 3 and verse 20. I'm sorry if it offends you that someone trusted Christ reading this verse, but we're going to read it. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup or eat or dine with him, and he with me. And so whether it's referring to the door of the Laodicean assembly or a few believers trying to do what is right in a lukewarm, decaying church, or a certain person, you can read and study it just like others have studied it as to the primary interpretation of the verse. That's not my purpose this afternoon. The scholars and theologians, and they can parse the words and they can unpack the contextual interpretation of the verse in various ways. But just for the purposes of this afternoon, when I was preparing for her funeral to speak, the verse touched my heart. I will come in to him, Jesus says, or to her. I will sup with him or her, and he or with me. I will come in. We will enjoy a time together of dining. And it just appealed to me this way. Peter, you're preparing for a message now at the funeral. How is the dining going? He came in to dine. Peter, how is the dining going? And that's what I want to speak on. How is the dining going? You received Christ. You welcomed him in. How is the dining going? Now just flip back to the Psalms just for a couple of verses. Psalm 51. Psalm 51. And it's David's honest confession about his sin after the prophet Nathan had exposed David's sin with Bathsheba. Just read a couple of verses here. Psalm 51. And verse 10, David says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Now we know in the dispensation that we're in today, that's no concern of a child of God. We are promised in the authority of the Word of God, the indwelling Spirit of God came in to stay. Verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Dear child of God, If the Lord quietly sat down beside you just now, just you and the Lord in this big auditorium, and he leaned into you like this, and he looked into your eyes, and he kindly and he gently asked you, "What's wrong? Is there some reason why you're not reading my word the way you used to read it? Is there some reason why you're dragging your feet a little bit? Have I failed you in some way that you're giving me, you sort of have a distant look in your eye, Peter? What is wrong? Things don't seem to be quite right between you and me." Let me ask you, are things right between you and the Lord? We can be right about many things, right about baptism, right about the assembly, right about attending the meetings, right about helping out, but there is something more important, as important and as essential as all of those things may be. What is most important, dear child of God, to state the obvious, is my own heart and my private, on-scene relationship with Christ. And so that's what's on my heart this afternoon as we sit here at the Jackson Conference. How are our hearts? Is Christ sort of outside, sort of on the periphery lately? Would he like to come back in? I stand at the door and knock, if I can apply it this way. I'd like back in. I used to be right at the center of your life. But for some reason or another, I feel like I'm a little bit on the edge of your life now. Not in the nub. Do you remember when you'd read your Bible and you'd read Paul's words, Galatians 2:20, "I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith." And you get to that part, "the Son of God who loved me." And you just pause and you almost had a goosebump saying, "Whoa, he loved me and he gave himself for me." We know that things can come into our lives and that thrill, that joy can be just a distant memory. They're beautiful, stirring words that Paul wrote, but in 2024, let's admit it, that we're not always flowing over, gushing with love for Christ. We say the words, we can sing the songs, we can even say the prayers. Go for a gospel series and you give out, "If I could only tell him as I know him, my Redeemer who has brightened all our paths." But sometimes those words come back to haunt me and say, "Peter, if you could only know him as you tell him." How is the knowing him going right now in your life? Yes, I'm looking inside my own life, and I have been for the last couple of weeks as I've been thinking about these words. We can preach great words. We can sing beautiful hymns. We can pray well-worded, theologically correct prayers. But if we're honest, would we admit that sometimes we are tired and we are distracted? The flame of our love that once was so robust is not burning as brightly as it did once. Things have happened. Disappointments, hurts, wounds, problems, bitterness, the world, the flesh, our family, the job, the assembly. Could be discouragement. Could just be plain old hectic pace of life. How long has it been? You say, "I don't want to go that deep at the Jackson Conference. I just sort of came here to listen." Would you like to go deep with the Lord today? You can tune out everything the first speaker is saying this afternoon, and you can do business with the Lord. Vertical business. We ask sinners to do business with the Lord in a gospel meeting. Let's ask saints to do business with the Lord, to breathe out a prayer. Draw me nearer, 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 precious Lord, to thy wounded side. You can do that this afternoon. How long has it been since you really enjoyed precious private time with the Lord and enjoyed communion and closeness with the Lord? I think I can hear someone saying, well, it seems like a long time since I really enjoyed the Lord. Long time since I shed a tear about His love, about His suffering for me. How long has it been with you since you actually were reading the Word of God and you grabbed your device and you started typing a note from a verse that you just read? Or got your pen out and said, oh, that's too precious. I'm scared I'll forget it by 9 o'clock. And you got a piece of paper and you wrote it down. Precious, how long since you wrote a note to yourself from something that you enjoyed in the Scriptures? Let's be honest. How long has it been? Mosey Lister went to be with the Lord in 2015 and he wrote a lot of hymns. But it took him sometimes days, took him weeks sometimes to compose. But there's one hymn that just took him 10 minutes to write. He was thinking about his own life. How long, Hope Mosey, has it been since you talked to the Lord? There's some older people here like me, and you might be able to sing along that first line I've got the words written out here, but this isn't about be a solo. But if you know it, sing the lines that you know and let it search our hearts. This is what he wrote in those 10 minutes. How long has it been since you talked to the Lord and told Him your heart's hidden secrets? How long since you prayed? How long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone through? How long has it been since your mind felt at ease? How long since your heart knew no burden? Can you call Him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that He cared for you? How long? A week's too long. A month's even longer. But I've had barren seasons of my life that went beyond a month, and beyond 2 months, and beyond 3 months. Dear child of God, how long has it been since you dined with Him and enjoyed it? I know you go out to fancy restaurants and you say, man, that food was delicious. I loved it. And I loved the company I was with. When did you last love dining with the Lord? How long has it been? Maybe you're thinking, so many things, Peter, has happened. It just seems like too much work to be restored and refreshed to enjoy the vibrancy in Christ like the good old days. The happy days of dining seem like just like a distant memory. And you feel like you just have to settle on this plateau that you're on, or in the rut that you're in. You say, the Lord's coming soon, and soon I'll be lifted out. Dear child of God, you could be taken off the plateau this weekend. That's why conferences are held. We were saying a gospel series. I think it was Mr. Shutt who said this morning in private conversation, if we preached our entire life and saw one soul won to Christ be well worth it. If the whole weekend at Jackson Conference was just for you, dear child of God, and you were pulled back from the brink and your heart was warmed, you look back on this 2024 Jackson Conference and say, that was a turning point in my life. Often we go to conferences because, well, they've been an important part of many of our lives. Sometimes we go to see people for the weekend, bring our family. But maybe for you this conference is different. Some have come because they're having a difficult time coping. Maybe you're here hoping that you will leave with spiritual solutions and answers and help and support. And maybe you came thinking, I think this will probably be my last conference I'll go to. The trajectory that I'm on, this may be my last. Dear child of God, this could be the first conference when you turned your life around. The Lord touched your heart and your life was turned around. And you can enjoy many future conferences if the Lord hasn't come. This is why the conference is convened, that our hearts would be touched and spoken to. Here, who here doesn't have memories of those first few months, the first couple of years, profound enjoyment of Christ? Like the tears used to touch our cheeks. It's not just older people I'm talking about. There are young people who knows what it is to have a tear running down their cheek because they enjoy Christ and they thought, He saved me. But there are also young people here and they have different kinds of tears. After the conference and the last conference was over, they went home. And they get in their bedroom and they close their door. And they're pretty downcast. And perhaps the thought has crossed their mind, I'm going to call it quits. But you're here. Thank God you're here. We can all remember when we sang those songs that were so deeply precious to us. Lord Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine, my rock, my fortress, my surety divine. I love Thee because Thou first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love Thee for wearing the thorns on Thy brow. Lord Jesus, 'tis Thou who art worthy. Lord Jesus, 'tis Thou. Remember at the breaking of bread? There were times when we had to take a deep breath, almost overwhelmed as we thought of His sufferings. Someone gave out a song, O head once filled with bruises, oppressed with pain and scorn. And you couldn't get all the words out, your heart was touched. Or when I survey the wondrous cross, see from His head, His hands, His feet. And then you got to the last stanza and you just wanted to burst out. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Remember those days? You just sung it from your heart. Our Bibles were open, came alive to us. We memorized verses. We made notes. Praying was so real. At our bedsides, at our desk, driving in the car, in the kitchen, in the garage. There were so many things to pray for, so little time to pray. The Lord just seemed so close. You know what? We were enjoying the dining then. We loved His presence. We looked forward to that special time that we had set aside to be alone with Him each day. We can go back in our memory to moments like that. Maybe in your house. Maybe when you're walking, a landmark. Maybe when you pulled the car off the side of the road, when your eyes got blinded by tears and you bowed your head at the steering wheel. Those don't just have to be things in your past. He is a God of restoration. And as I travel the countryside, I meet Christians who are down, who were discouraged. And they're now thriving for the Lord. I meet Christians who were once bitter. They're now sweet. I meet Christians who were once far away from the Lord, living a life of darkness and sin. And they've been restored after 40 years of straying. Remarkable stories of restoration. He is a God of restoration. You can be restored at the Jackson Conference. You want to relive those precious times, sweet moments? Dear child of God, I just want to give you this light in the darkness of your tunnel. Things can be the same again. Actually, your devotion to Christ could be even deeper in the days ahead than you've ever experienced in the past. That's the grace of our God, the God of restoration, leaning in. He leaned in to save you, and He leans into your life to restore you. What are the gradual changes? I just want to talk about a couple of things. The indicators that things aren't going very well in my life. I may be beginning to slip. You know, sometimes we can deny that we're growing cold. We can call it by different names. But I just made a list here of some things that we can, they're indicators that we may be growing cold. I've already mentioned one, communion. If my reading slips, if my prayers get shorter, or more routine or less real, how is my communion? That's a big indicator that I'm growing cold. What about my calendar? If you wanted, someone was talking about alliteration, I have some C's. Communion. Is my calendar changing? How I spend my time shifts and tilts away from spiritual things. The meetings of the local assembly are no longer a must on my calendar. It's Wednesday night. Oh, well, I can miss this Wednesday night. Any changes to my calendar? What about my company? Over the past couple of years, has your company changed any? Once there was a desire to be at every event where Christians, where fellow believers were present. Am I spending less and less time with believers? When I am with believers, do I find that I have less and less in common? Not a healthy sign. Your company. What about your conduct? Has your lifestyle changed in the last little while? Can you identify gradual changes in your conduct? Sometimes people say, oh, well, I was living by other people's convictions. Well, that's true. It's important for us to find out what the Bible says for us. Nothing wrong with that. But when I find myself saying a lot, I don't see anything wrong with it. What's the harm? So-and-so does that, so I can do this. When those thoughts start coming into my mind, it may be an indicator that I need to get back at the table and dine with Him. My communion, my calendar, my company, my conduct. What about my conversation? Do you remember just texting someone? Oh, you should have just been at, I wish you could have heard this message and that I heard at the conference this weekend. Any texts like that coming from your phone now? Oh, guess what? I was just reading this verse. I'm going to share it with you. Have you shared anything with another believer lately? Your conversation, whether it's what we type or what we say, any changes there in our conversation? If someone was monitoring our conversations, would they detect a shift? Our countenance. Remember when you were first saved? Bright, cheerful countenance. Yes, saved. Your countenance fading a little bit. You find yourself trying to smile, forced smile, flexing the muscles of your cheeks. When once it was spontaneous, but now there is effort required. Remember the robust handshake you used to give? How few handshakes do I have to give now? Growing cold is a process, you know. It doesn't happen in one day, and it doesn't happen in one week. It's gradual. It's not sudden. Bit by bit, believers begin to drift away from fellowship with the Lord. Little by little, we lose ground. Step by step, we wander further away. The flame of faith is flickering. It once burned so brightly and so robustly. How are you doing at the Jackson Conference? I mentioned six indicators, but before I sit down, I just want to go over this. I'm thankful for the clock. I did take a watch up with me. It's a little hard to read, but the sunlight, I think it is 246. So I've talked about the indicators. I want to give you just quickly some underlying causes why we grow cold. I've already mentioned a disruption in our communion with the Lord. It's a sign, but it's also a major cause. When the habit of reading and praying, dining with Him has been disrupted, we immediately commence our downward trajectory. Oh, we can't lose our salvation. We're eternally secure in Christ. But when we get out of the practice, it could be just a busy time at work, and a week goes by, and we just had to put our, couldn't get into the Word of God in 2 weeks, and then it becomes sort of an habitual thing, a disruption in our communion. We can't prosper as a Christian if we're not dining with the Lord every day. Is He feeling at home in my heart? Neglecting your Bible was probably not the original cause, the precipitating factor. Something else has probably happened in your life, but a disruption in your communion exacerbates the issues, accelerates the drift. So when I find myself getting sloppy in my reading, in my praying, that's very detrimental. It's a cause for growing cold. So even when you're in a slump, stick to your reading schedule. Even when you have to do it mechanically and say, my heart's not there right now, just open the Word of God. We heard this morning that it is living. It's powerful. And your mind could be a million miles away. You make lift that Bible up so coldly and so mechanically, methodically and habitually, but your heart's not there. But He can speak to you. Keep reading your Bible. You may be distracted by many things, your education, all of those things. Legitimate things like education, career, business, maybe hobbies. Hobbies are legitimate. Even our relatives are legitimate. But when they become first place in our life, they become illegitimate. So, here's another one. Discontentment with our situation. We've all had bouts of discontentment. Others seem to be getting ahead. We're not. You discontented with your situation in life. Discontentment is like throwing water in the fires of devotion for Christ. Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. The writer to the epistle to the Hebrews, let your behavior be without love of money and be content with such things as you have. So disruption can cause coldness, distraction, discontentment, displacement in our dependence. Displacement. And I just simply mean this. When times are tough, we cry out to God. When sailing is smooth and the funds are coming in and the bills are all paid, and we start to lose our sense of dependence on the Lord, and then we can grow cold. Moses wrote in Deuteronomy 8, I enjoyed this probably Monday or Tuesday, Deuteronomy 8, beware lest when you are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your flocks multiply and your gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. So, displacement in our dependence, disappointment in our circumstances. There are Christians in the auditorium today, and your heart is breaking with disappointment. Never in your wildest hopes did you think that things would turn out the way they have in your life. Your pathway has not been easy. You are single, and you never wanted to be. Your children aren't saved, someone else says, and I prayed for them before they were born, but they're not saved. Your son is away from the Lord. Your husband has left the assembly. Your marriage is on the rocks. Nobody else knows it but the two of you, and maybe your kids. Your courtship failed after you were absolutely sure it was the will of God. Then she went off with another guy. And we're supposed to be Christians. You suffer with chronic physical pain. Or your happy little assembly has been decimated by strife. You know, the Bible is full of stories of famines. And that's often when people, well, that's when Abraham and Sarah went down into Egypt. A famine. That's when Elimelech and Naomi gathered up their belongings and their two little boys and headed down to Moab in a famine. Often Christians survive the earthquakes, but the aftershocks, they lose heart. Disappointment with God can be very real in our experience, and we have to deal with it. We can't survive harboring bitter thoughts or hard thoughts against God. What do you do in times like that? I just know that God is leaning into you and waiting for you to pour out your heart. If you're angry at Him, tell Him how you feel. Other friends will leave you and forsake you if you blast them. But from your heart, you can cry out to God in your bitterness, in your anger. What's going on, God? That's what I love about the Psalms. And by the time you get to the end of the Psalm, the one who was saying, what's wrong? Are you asleep up there? By the end, he's praising the Lord. Why? Because he wants us to be truthful with him and pour out our hearts. There's disappointment with God. It can be very real. Disappointment with other Christians, very real, discouraging, depressing. But I'll tell you, bitterness will quench the flame for sure, and even disappointment with our circumstances. And I went over a few of them. So disruption, distraction, discontentment, displacement, disappointment, disillusionment in our struggles. You say, I heard that message this morning. I don't know how many times I've asked the Lord to give me strength. I want to be an overcomer in this area of my life. And I confess my sin and I fail, and I confess my sin and I fail again. Disillusionment in our struggles. We promised the Lord we would never sin against Him again. Every time you come with an honest heart, broken and contrite, with confession, He hears your honesty. He hears your awful struggle. He answers your prayer. But you'll have that struggle again. Until we're caught up to be with the Lord forever, we will always struggle with our sinful flesh. The final one is, and I'll sit down, is the disobedience in our lives. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's a sure sign of dampening the flame, putting out the flame of love and devotion when I'm actively disobeying Him in my life. We talk about falling into sins, committing a sinful act, giving in to temptation, allowing something in our lives that is wrong, continuing in it. But there's another possibility. It's not just the positive commission of a sinful act that we need to be concerned about. Something that we know the Lord wants us to do, and we're failing to do that good thing, that is sin as well. So it's disobedience. Sin unconfessed in our lives will definitely reduce our Christian experience into a heap of dying embers and coals. Before I sit down, I just want to say this. He's knocking at the door, if I can apply it that way. If anyone hears my voice, open the door. I will come in. I will sup with him. I'll dine with him. I will come in to him, to her. I will sup with him, he with me. And dear child of God, you might think your whole life has gone up in smoke and there's nothing but ashes remaining, dark charcoal. Every true child of God, if you stir around the black ashes and the charcoal and it may seem cold as ice, the debris of life, and you dig a little deeper, dig a little deeper, dig a little deeper, the spark of divine life is there. Allow the Jackson Conference and the Spirit of God just to brighten the little spark. And maybe next tomorrow when I speak again, it'll be a little more positive. How can I know, now we've heard about it, growing cold. How can I grow warm again? We'll look at that tomorrow in the will of the Lord. But remember this, He is a God of restoration. David wrote Psalm 23, verse 3, He restores my soul.